Natok Warbiter strolled among the round tables, gnawing on a broiled chicken and dropping bones and gristle. Usually, the scraps landed on the floor, but once in a while they fell on the heads or shoulders of the gamblers who tossed rattling dice or hunched over their hands of brag and black argus. When the latter occurred, no one complained, at least not while Natok was within earshot. Even if the mostly human clientele objected to the boorishness of some other Ogryn, they didn't dare take offense with this one, standing a head taller than any of them, with massive steel rings for punching skulls to mush on every finger, and a double-edged battle axe hanging from his belt. They knew his reputation for homicidal rampages. In fact, the patrons seldom accosted Natok for any reason, which made keeping order the least onerous of his many duties amid the tawdry splendor of the braggart smile, with its peeling gold-painted molding and crudely rendered murals of sybaritic indulgence. Accordingly, he was surprised when he spotted a middle-aged woman and a young man making their way in his direction. Both humans had silver-blonde hair, upturned noses, apple cheeks, and an overall fleshiness that suggested a familial connection. And their choice to dress in identical shades of cornflower blue and daisy yellow reinforced the resemblance. Their cloaks, and what Natok could make out of the garments underneath, were the clean, respectable attire of supposedly decent citizens who'd sneak down into the Undercity for illicit commerce or fun. Judging from their smiles, they weren't coming to complain that they'd been cheated or anything like that. Perhaps, like a few brash souls before them, they hoped to boast to their friends that they'd bought an infamous outlaw ale, or at least were on speaking terms with him. With mingled irritation and amusement, Natok braced himself to suffer their attentions for a moment or two. He supposed it was good for business.
Natok Warbiter?
Who else?
The young man beamed at the older woman.
Oh, you see, Mama? I told you.
I know, Lavi.
She stroked her fingertip down the lad's forearm and gave Natok a smile.
My little boy's so clever.
What do you want?
Oh, we were told Canis Gormley works here.
And that you and she are the best of friends.
So, we'd be ever so grateful if you could help us find her.
Sit. She'll wander in eventually.
I'm afraid we're in a bit of a hurry. If you can't direct us to her, we'll have to prevail upon you to help in a different fashion.
How's that?
We'll explain by and by.
The mother raised her arm over her head and her sleeve slid down, exposing black tattooing. Then she winked at him. Around the gambling hall, half a dozen men leaped up from their seats, ripped the cloaks away from their shoulders, and snatched their swords from their scabbards. Dangling their capes in their off hands, they converged in twos and threes on the other startled patient weavers in sight. A customer was slow getting out of the way, and one of the attackers cut him down with a casual slash to the throat. Mother and son stepped back and away from one another, simultaneously distancing themselves from Natok and maneuvering to flank him. They tore off their cloaks too, revealing long, straight, cut-and-thrust swords hanging beneath. Natok decided to dispose of one of his adversaries before either could draw. He dropped what little remained of the chicken and cocked his fist for a punch. But the young man simultaneously pirouetted out of the way and lashed out with the cloak. The hem clouted Natok's cheek and pointed ear with surprising force. Evidently, it had weights sewn in. He scrambled back from the threat, and they glided after him. He grabbed an abandoned table by its edge and flung it. Mother and son dodged, but the attack held them back long enough for him to ready his axe. The hall shook, and a piece of ceiling crashed down on the patch of floor beneath. Natok wondered what in the name of Holy Mother Dunia was happening. Then he thrust speculation from his mind. If he didn't dispose of these two adversaries trying to do the same to him, right here and now, the broader picture wouldn't matter. He spotted an overturned chair at the periphery of his vision. He stepped behind it, then booted it at the sun. It cracked into the man's knees and knocked him stumbling backward. Natok pivoted and rushed the blonde woman. He swung his axe at her head, and she whirled her cape at the weapon. The cloak tangled around the axe head, and the mother brought it arcing harmlessly down in front of her body. She stabbed her sword at his midsection. He sidestepped, but her blade slid across his ribs, slicing through his leather jerkin and the shirt beneath, but only scratching, he hoped, the skin beneath. He jumped forward, let go of the entangled axe with one hand, and swung his fist in an uppercut. She sprang back, and the punch missed, but at least her retreat pulled the cloak off his axe. Gripping the haft anew, Natak whirled and swung the axe in a horizontal cut. It intercepted the young man's sword in mid-slash, not quite knocking it out of his hand, but making him fumble to hold on to the hilt. Natak stepped in to cleave the bastard's skull. As the human snapped his cape at his face, Natak fainted low and spun the axe high. Then everything went dark. The mother had come up behind him and tossed her cloak over his head. He blindly struck at the sun anyway, but missed. Then twin shocks of pain flared in the back of his knee and his forearm. He pitched forward, and something clouted him over the head. He fell to the floor, and a sword slid into his back. The cape pulled away, revealing carnage. The other patient weavers in the hall were dead, while still employing murderously efficient teamwork, their killers were slaughtering the panicked gamblers, struggling to shove through the crush at the exit. Mother and son stood over Natak.
You were perfect.
No, you were perfect and so brave.
She ran her fingers through his disheveled hair, stroking it back into place. Natak tried to spin himself around and swing the axe at their ankles, but agony ripped through his several wounds, and he just flopped like a newly caught fish.
Oh, no, that's enough of that.
The young man pulled the axe from Natak's numb, twitching fingers.
We promised to tell you how you were going to help us. The answer is, as bait.